So I put on my preaching clothes because Sean and Kim were coming, and they need to see this same shirt whenever they come. And I don't mind putting it on because, you know, it's one of few. I was all over the place. I was telling Pastor, I had one message and, I had to put it to the side. Then I had another one and I had to put it to the side. Thank you, man. And then another one. And pretty soon this morning, I got something this morning. Okay, so bear with me. Right? Bless the Lord. So, all right, the title of my message is Origins of the Tale. That's T-A-L-E, Origins of the Tale. So, as I just prayed, the enemy does, he works to demolish the truth of God. And he's been very successful in doing so. But it's not just his ability to be crafty in that way. Many of us show up on the scene rejecting God without any, you know what I mean, without any persuasion. It's like, look, some of us, like Keith always says, some of us may not belong to him. You know what I mean? Now, we don't know who, but, some of us just may not. I don't know if it's a fact or not, but if you get the gist of Armageddon, where the people are willing to battle Christ, in the end, he's there and you see him and you still are coming up against him. It's like you're a real enemy to Christ, and he exists. So it's like proof is not enough, even if he was raised from the dead. You know what I mean? It's not enough. So there's different classes of people. But I'm going to try to address the Christians that are looking for a way out of service and loyalty and devotion, and the types that would just be happy to get to heaven, which relieves them of any suffering or work or any of the things that Jesus said we're going to have to contend with, right? So because I've been hearing that, and I have one friend notably that he'll say, I'm just happy to get in. And, and by his saying that, I'm thinking of the parable of the servant that was just lazy. He didn't want to invest the gifts that God had given him. And so he just wants in, And so it's like God's not a fool. As a man sows, so shall he reap. And so what I believe is that we have to want more than just to get in. Wasn't he saying just squeezing in the door last week? That was funny. If you weren't here, you need to hear it. But it's the truth. It's not just about, oh, I made it. It's about an acknowledgement coming in as a good and faithful servant where the Lord wants to reward you the same way you want to reward an obedient child. You're right? So we don't want to let him down. And then we don't want to suffer a great loss. We really will suffer a great loss if we don't use this time to fulfill our purpose here so that he can reward us there where a reward is going to be eternal, everlasting, everlasting. It'll never end. You'll always have the title he gives you, the name, the stone, the crown, the robe, the rocks. You'll always have it. Everlasting. Its value can never diminish. You'll always be that wealthy or that regarded. Okay, in that day. Bless the Lord. Strive for it. Strive for it. Yeah, right? Strive for that life. So today, it's different, I believe, now in trying to share the gospel today. Because so many lies are all over the place. And so many people are believing so many lies that when you come with the gospel, and we know the gospel is saturated with supernatural events, You know, it's kind of hard to stand there and say things like, yeah, and then she was pregnant through miraculous means, you know, you know, or, you know, then he ran all day and all night, you know, on foot, you know, or the fire came down from the sky and burned up everything. I mean, see, when you start talking to people that have been influenced and persuaded otherwise, you know they're cynical. They're looking at you like, what in the world are you, right? So we have to contend with that. That means our reputations have to be put to the side. Because if you ever thought of me on my job as a professional or something, and then we go out for lunch and I'm telling you, and then the boat floated with all the animals and stuff like that, that changes, you know, that will change your idea of me if you don't believe it. And if you've heard that that's fairy tale, yeah, right? Right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to get the message out today because everybody's so much more intelligent based on the world's standards and wisdom. Right? You come up talking about that's child stuff. This is what the enemy has done. He's caused the truth to be so depreciated in the minds of the world. Right? Right? Okay, so then here will you come with it. Oh, that's second grade. You get it? So we have to suffer the embarrassment and the ridicule and the cynicism and the ostracization. You get blocked from things. I'm not hiring him. Look at his Facebook page. He out there talking about angels flying and stuff, right? We don't want that here. We want sensible people here that, you know, that believe in the billions of years, you know, and, you know, sensible people that align themselves with evolutionary beliefs. And we don't want that hocus pocus stuff, right? So this is what throwing it all away, casting it all away, that Paul is talking about for the sake of the gospel. It's not what everybody wants to believe. Is keep your private, your past quiet. He's talking about forgetting his reputation so that he can stick his neck out and look like a fool to you to tell you the truth of the gospel, right? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. This is what he's calling us to, he's calling us to bow down. Bow down your reputation and your attitude and your character, whatever it is that anyone believes, and go in there talking about Fruit Loops and Lucky Charms or something. That's because, all right? Go in there, no matter what they think, it's the foolish things that confound the wise. So if they're thinking you're just that dingy, but you believe what you're saying, look, they may never believe what you're saying, but it's accounted to you that you suffered. Bless the Lord. You suffered. You were ridiculed. You were willing to suffer for the Lord. Yeah, right? Okay? And in any kind of way, because this is what you believe. And you know what you believe is true. So there's a lot of fighting going on. We always see it in the media and everything. I believe the strategy of the enemy right now is to actually, in that political divide, I've said it before, you know, you got the Republicans over here and the Democrats over here, the rights against the lefts, and they're going back and forth. And I think what the enemy does is he will use the thing that's most offensive to you and let it be spewed on this side, right? To the point that you hate your enemy and you feel justified in it. You're talking about Trump all day long, right? Justified. You know, he ain't right. You know, this is going on. Then, you know, and then in contrast, you got the lefts. I believe that appear to be a lot more eloquent and everything. But to get them back, we just pushed the standard to the all-time low. You get it? We'll show them. They can't lord over us. The enemy wants us to believe. I think the enemy wants us to believe after it's all said and done. Or non-believers, especially, and that's not really where I'm going, but non-believers to believe. This is what Christians are. These Republican racists, so-and-so, right? They talk about the Lord and then they make racial epitaphs and statements, right? So then you get on the left. Am I right? No, you get on the right. Yeah. So the left, you know, they call themselves Christians. They got all that gay marriage and they pushing all this agenda, you know, with a, you know, I don't know why I can't think of the million things that you know, because there's a million or more, you know, that, yeah. But they're pushing this agenda. And so there's a divide. And we can't be caught up in the divide. And I'm going to tell you, there's a way out. We recognize that any offense, I don't care what side you're leaning to, any offense, we have to suffer for the Lord. How does that work? You calling me all kind of names or whatever that are, you know, based on my race or whatever and stuff like this. You know what? I may have to suffer that. It's not even a may to it, right? Because I'm a Christian. Outside of what you're calling me or trying to relate me to, an animal or whatever the case may be, I am a Christian. And Jesus said, love your enemies. Okay, McCain died. He made it explicit. He doesn't want President Trump at his funeral. So if I were just reading that from a distance, I would think he's not exercising the love. He talked about my scholarship, my nobleness, my, you know, I was a hero, a prisoner of war. All of these things, he downed it, and he downs everybody. I don't want him at my funeral, right? One good thing about funerals is people are convicted a lot. You might want to bury any hatchet, right? You might want to, for the sake of his soul, because you'll be rewarded for every soul that you take part in. The convergence of, or the conversion of, right? Okay, so I'm not just going to bash the political people. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to say is that it might sound contrary to everything, but I'm not going to let them take me away in chains and make me a slave again. Listen, you're a slave to Christ. Listen, if you were willing to do it because you knew you might get to minister in the pit where the slaves are, you might be willing to do it. I'm going to say something that this might not be taken to, like probably all of this hasn't been. I don't know. But I'm going to say something. When you signed up for this, you threw your rights away. Okay? I'm using the African-American despicable practices and all of this kinds of sort of stuff to make a point. You threw your rights away. Okay, you don't have rights. You only have what God gave you. A real Christian is going to have to operate in that vein. Okay, I'm going to suffer some crazy stuff for the sake of Christ. I may not be able to. And look, don't leave. I'm only preaching today. Me and Pastor and Keith were out eating one time and I asked about a woman. I said, you know, where is she? I haven't seen her. She had started coming. I said, yeah, she hasn't come anymore. And Dave, you were the last one that preached. And remember that? And I was like, now how does he remember that? You know, so he's looking up here. How does he know? You know, so I don't want, listen, this might be my last time preaching. Don't leave because of me. We'll get back in the right frame of mind pretty soon. What I'm trying to say is that Use that motto as an example to ask the Lord to help you endure offenses. Because you're going to be constantly offended. And if the enemy has helped you, make it up in your mind that I will not put up with thus, thus, and thus. Then you're only willing to go so far for the gospel. Bless the Lord. It's the truth that the enemy is saying or convincing you that you'll only put up with so much. Then you'll only go so far for the Lord. All right. It's a hard pill. But I'm telling you, we don't get to pick and choose just how much. When I was on drugs, I used to say, well, I'll just do cocaine. I'll never shoot up. Listen, you harbor a root of bitterness. It's going to spread and grow. You're going to do everything you said. Look, your line is going to keep, you'll graduate past the line. Bless the Lord. Making sense back there? Bless God. Anyway, they're battling and carrying on, and I believe the enemy is the fuel behind it, and he keeps it going, and he's causing Christians to look like something unattractive. And then it's keeping us divided. I mean, I can suffer a blow. You know, we're only one race. This is the truth. There's just one race. It's human. The rest of it is skin pigmentation from the melanin in our skin, in our genes, right? Some are dark, some are light. But there's one race. So the enemy got in there and made a racial divide. If anything, it's just a tribal divide. We're different. We have different customs and different, you know, but we're not. We all come from two people, Adam and Eve. So when they start talking to you about your race, I'm not telling you to just convince yourself they're ignorant, which they are because we're all the same race. But you have to ask God, don't let this reside in my heart. Don't let me. We have to ask him. I'm not just saying this. I know it seems like, oh, that's just too much. You ask him to soften your heart toward your enemy because you can't do it yourself. It's not going to come naturally. It's supernatural. So we have to ask the Lord to do it. And I know y'all, some of the kids back there laughing how you'd be slapping somebody upside the head if they offend you. Okay, so we're gonna dig in to some of the offenses that you may be confronted with in life. Genesis 6 says, 6:11 through 24 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons Shem and Ham and Japheth and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind and all the livestock according to their kind and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind and every bird according to its kind and every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark over the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed, so it covered. I'm sorry. The waters prevailed mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole earth were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all the flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out everything, every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. This earth, go ahead. Six. I'm sorry. Did I go to seven? Genesis 7. Yeah. Is Irma here? How come she didn't correct me? Because she corrects me. The stuff that's online, Irma will tell you that scripture's wrong. No, I'm serious. It's like a duty she's taking on. She knows. She knows. So Genesis 7. I'm sorry, Irma, and the rest of y'all. So the flood of Noah's day. This is something the enemy has worked to diminish in the minds of people. Why? You look at the flood, you typically see some cartoon tugboat with animals sticking their heads out the window smiling, right? Going on a boat ride, right? So this is what you'll be faced with when you get in college if you go. The teacher, you believe that? And he's going to hold up that kind of picture. You get it? He's not going to hold up anything substantial and true to life. He's going to hold up the thing that ridicules you and makes you feel stupid in front of everybody else in the class. And that's why you have to get prepared to suffer offenses, because you don't want to lose your faith. You want to stand for what you believe in. And so that's how the enemy does. He takes the truth. And then he, in many different ways, he'll lie about it. He'll maliciously lie about it. He'll deplete it. He'll take stuff out of it. He'll make it look silly. Right? This was a global catastrophe. Right? This whole planet was covered with water. A lot of people don't want to believe that. And it's getting into the church. Just like when we talked about the billions and millions of years that a day means. That the scholarly people in the church that want to preserve their reputation, I keep doing that, that want to preserve their reputation, these guys had to align themselves with something that seemed plausible so that they just didn't look like kids in storyland, right? Okay, the same thing with this ark. Look, it was a devastating endeavor. God covered the earth with water. Every mountain was covered with water. He said he was going to do it, and he did it, and he preserved the lives of Noah and Noah's family. Right? Bless the Lord. Have doubts? Anybody have doubts? We're not going to put you out. But no, don't be afraid. Didn't that sound kind of, when you first heard it, some of this is just kind of crazy? Right? Okay, put them out. All right. Listen, it should sound crazy, but we have to believe what sounds crazy. And if we have a doubt, we have to ask God to help us with our unbelief. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Okay. So about 2,348 years before Christ, this catastrophe took place. It reshaped the continent, making continents. Platelets, what's the word? They're moving all over the place. They're distant from each other now. All those creatures that died are buried all over the earth. We call them fossils now, right? They're all over everywhere. And then when you look at the Grand Canyon and other places, clefts and creeks and stuff, you see the rock formations and the layers, okay? And then what the evolutionists or the humanists are calling that layer's a million years, and this one's 10 billion years, and this one, their dating methods are ungodly, crazy methods. And they're willing to argue you, you know, they have no idea how old anything is. We really don't know how old we are if it wasn't for a birth certificate when we got here. So, right? If I saw the tree grow, I don't know when it started to germinate. Really? Okay, so really you know how old this is? This is really, look, we're not looking for ways to just combat the people. We're looking for ways to prove or defend the gospel. Okay, this is what we do. We defend the truth. Okay, so they, like I said, they may never believe you anyway. They're willfully stubborn. Willfully ignorant, a lot of them. But some will. Some will walk away with the truth. Okay, so we're looking scattered and damaged. This place has been, it's suffered a catastrophic event. So it's worn and torn. And what we're looking at is the beauty in it. And for the most part, we're expecting, before we come to the knowledge of God and his will for us and his redirection of our hopes and dreams to his kingdom and not this garbage dump that we're living on. And I'm telling you, this is what it is. We're standing on a rock full of dead things all over the world. Right? This is our feet are on a cemetery. You look, I'm not in the cemetery. Yes, you are. Because underneath you, and even in the makeup of the building. Yeah, what's my word? Look, the molecular structure of everything has to do with something dead. Okay? It's all, that's why we're dying. Sin entered in, and now it's taking us to our end. Okay? So it's there. It's in the fabric of this place. And we're on a cemetery, and we wonder why we're so easily depressed. You know, one minute we're up, the next minute down. You know, look, you're grieving. We're walking around in a lifelong mourning, whether we know it or not. Okay, somebody died. I wasn't crazy about Aretha Franklin. I'm not saying that I didn't appreciate her. But after she died, I felt blue. Okay, I can hear her singing in the 70s in the back of my mind. You know, do right and respect me and all that. Right? I don't want her to die. You know, right? So she contributed in the whatever area of life. She had her life to do with it what she would. I'm not calling her a believer or not. I'm not trying to make that case. What I'm trying to say is that her death is a blow. She's my sister. She's our relative. She's gone now. McCain is gone. I don't know much about him, but people are dying left and right. These presidents are dying. Your sisters and brothers are dying. Your mother is dying, if she's not dead already. I hate to be so blunt, but there's just death everywhere. Okay, you want the proof of it? The archaeologists are digging up dead bones everywhere. Everywhere, all over this planet. Right? And we want happiness here and now. And this is where we're focused on. I gotta have my dream. You know, I need to fulfill my purpose here and get my yacht. I want the picture that I saw in Cosmopolitan to be my life. A man of leisure. This is what I want. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. What's wrong is that you think this is the end of it all. Your success, it really comes in your investment in the kingdom. Because it's the truth. You know, when we think about it, let's talk more about the ark, because I don't want to get crazy. What does the Bible say about the ark and the flood? So in Psalm 104, 6-9, Irma, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. This verifies Genesis, the Genesis account, okay? Here's King David. In one of his poetic psalms, after your rebuke, they fled, and the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. So the waves only come so far and no further now, right? Thank God. Okay? Right now. All right? Listen, this is King David's analysis of it. Right? I didn't even know existed until I started this study. Yeah, for real. And then there's others. Isaiah says, for this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. That was, would not flood the earth again. And Isaiah 54:9 kind of sounds like the Luke account where Jesus is mentioning the flood. Then in Matthew 24:36-44, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father knows. For the coming of the Son of Man will be like in the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Partying. Kardashian marriages. You know, you get married one minute, divorce the next. You're all over the tabloids. Not marriages under God, celebratory marriages, the things that we do as celebrated people, right? This is what the Lord's talking about, eating and drinking. What does that mean? Hanging out. Pardon, this is what we do. What you want to do today, Kim? Lunch. Let's go and have lunch. We're lunching. Kim looked like she'd be lunching. You need to cut out that lunching. So, listen, this is what we have to... Listen, saints, I'm not supposed to be too funny. I've been told in more ways than one. Don't be a clown, David, because you'll ruin the message. I won't say who all told me that. So, all right, this is the truth, right? Okay, look, Jesus believed in the flood, okay? This is Jesus referring to the flood account, all right? So the flood, it's an offense to Jesus for me to draw a caricature with animals hanging out of a tugboat, because it means more to him than that. It means more to God that he made a promise that he wouldn't do it again. It grieved him. He does not want us to perish. Bless the Lord. So there's many more scriptures that point back to the flood, but I'm not going to read them all. Because, yeah, I'm not. So, there's a question that some non-believers are going to ask, or they're going to pose, or statements they're going to pose that will that you can tell they believe the accounts of the flood and other accounts in the Bible are really myths and legends, and other, you know, other nations had their own accounts and this and that kind of sort of stuff, and we borrowed from those accounts, you know, so that we could have a story of our own and all of that kind of sort of stuff. But we have a history book, and like Clement said, it's full of benefits. It is full of benefits, okay? I won't go into all of that either, but I know there's benefits in there, and he woke it up in me because I forgot to read a benefits book on my job where it was a great loss. You know, I could have been getting out of there sooner, but I wasn't paying attention. So we have to pay attention to the Bible. We have to, because it's full of benefits and it's a history book that's accurate. Okay, so of the flood traditions which have survived to the present time, about 95% describe a global cataclysmic deluge. 88% tell of a favored family of humans saved from drowning to reestablish the human race after the deluge. 66% say the family was forewarned of the coming cataclysm. 66% blame the wickedness of man for the deluge, and 70% record a boat as being the means by which the chosen family and animals survived the flood. More than one third of these traditions mention birds being sent outside of the boat. So now it's all over the world in our history that something like this flood took place. And somebody like this Noah, or a family of people, survived in a boat, right? It's all over everywhere. Not only is this tradition all over everywhere, but artifacts are all over everywhere to prove the tradition. In other words, it's to make a long story short, it's going to be hard to discount this episode when, in fact, there are fish found on top of the mountains, right? Fish don't belong up on the top of the mountain peaks, right? So you find these fossils and you wonder how they get up there. Oh, they swam up. Let the evolutionists tell you. Oh, they migrated. They evolved and climbed up and made their way up to Mount Shasta. You know, the fish. We come from fish. How come the fish couldn't climb up there? But if they climbed up there, why aren't their little legs fossilized? You get it? It's like, so we're going to hear all kind of crazy while they're calling us crazy. What we don't want to do is fight back with crazy. How insane are you? I mean, really, how crazy are you that you would believe something like that? But you can believe anything outside of God. If you don't have a foundation in God, all kinds of sorts of stuff is going to come to pass that you're going to go with. Tossed to and fro. By every wind of doctrine. So you have to even consider in the church that the people that are compromised don't necessarily have the belief in this flood account. Or God speaking the earth into existence by his mouth. Or that a day is a 24-hour period of time. You know, all these kinds of things are what they try to hammer away. Either the enemy has them removing, he places doubt, which is easy to do if you're not in your word. He's going to place doubt in your mind. So you, of course you're not going to believe it. You're partying. You know, you're like the people in Noah's day. You're not studying the Bible. You got your affairs going on that you're in tune to and manipulating and managing. Of course you're going to believe it. Well, they say millions of years ago, nothing blew up and became something. So we've hit this before. Nothing has it happened today. Do you see nothing blowing up becoming something? Do you see any evidence of transformation taking place from fish to human? Do you see half fish man? Half, right? You don't see it. When you bring it up, we don't see it. It takes millions of years. And I'm saying, okay, it takes millions of years, but in between time, we should see from 1,001,000 years some evidence. I want to see it. You know, you can't produce it. We have a book. We have a Bible that tells us. I'm telling you, the Bible has an account for everything. Look, even our genealogies are recorded up until Jesus. So that gives you an account of how much time it was from the beginning, about 6,000 years where we are today. Because you can count. How old is your nephew, too? When was he born? 1959. That must mean, how was your mother when she had him? 18. You know, you can do the math. Look, if we're smart enough to do the math, let's do the math. So look, I'm going to tell you, don't hold on to crazy. Stick with the Bible. It's accurate. The history recorded there is accurate. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Why do we lie so much? Lying. Jolene was lying. No. But no, really, lying's a problem. It can be a problem. And so we take for granted that the little lies are okay lies, you know. You know, where were you today? You know, oh. Look, already a lie is just waiting to come out. But we don't seem or tend to believe that those lies matter. We need to get back to the place that they matter. Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now you're lying to God. Okay, this is the truth. Lies matter. And so the enemy, he comes around and teaches us, since we've been connected to him for a long time, lie. You get out of it. What difference does it make? You're not hurting anybody. So he was our father at one point before we knew the Lord, and that had become our native tongue. Lying seems to be a way of life for many people. We lie at the drop of a hat. The Day American Told the Truth says that 91% of those surveyed lie routinely about matters they consider trivial. And 36% lie about important matters. And 86% lie regularly to parents. And 75% to friends. And 73% to siblings. And 69% to spouses. Just turn around and just lie. You look good today, baby. Just... What's wrong with us? Okay. Well, look, okay, there's a reason for me to bring that up, okay? You know, so one thing that definitely helps the enemy succeed with his lies is when we're found lying. All right? If we're found lying, when the enemy steps in with his lie, how are they going to find me credible? I lie all the time. You just lied. We busted you in the lie, and now you're talking about some godly truth? I'd rather believe those scientists and professors and those smart people, right? Because they know how a dust particle became gas and gas exploded and then stars burst out everywhere and then we just kind of came from these particles and we became bacteria and then an eye formed. I would rather believe them, right? Listen, if it sounds like I'm trying to make fun of them, I am. But I shouldn't be. So we don't want to laugh and scoff. Some of the ideas are crazy, but the people God loves, it's his will that every man be saved. This is the truth, that none should perish. But we have to really delicately in love address the lie and confront it with the truth. So we're going to need the truth. And God's not going to give you like so much that you fall short. If you're studying, he's going to set you up. That you can, and look, it could very possibly have something to do with this person's salvation. Credit it to you, you're going to earn big time rewards for somebody coming to salvation because of you. So we need to start looking at it as a benefit, not as I'm going to go to hell if I do this or that. Look, if I stop doing this or that, I'm going to inherit more. There's more to inherit in the kingdom. It's not just to enter in. Enter in with a promotion through the door. That you were a good and faithful servant. You ran a great race. You get to reign with me. You get to hang out with Jesus or Job or John. Because, look, you were willing to sacrifice your reputation unto death for me. You didn't fear telling them the story of the ark. Bless the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Don't ruin your witness. Lying is an offense to God. He doesn't want us constantly lying. He doesn't want us to lie at all. It's not our tongue. It's that guy's tongue. You know who. Bless the Lord. There was a cartoon about a flea convention. Did anybody see that on Facebook? A flea convention. Fleas. Right? So they were all meeting and discussing. Hey, Charles, man, bless the Lord. Yeah. We've been praying for you, man. So bless God. Yeah. So the fleas were meeting and they were discussing that there is no dog. And they were on a dog. And through the dog hair and everything, if the camera's drawn back, you can see you're on a dog. You get it? Okay, so look, here's the evolutionist. There is no God on his planet. You get it? All right, so we can be silly. We don't need to be. We need to understand that without God, these are the kinds of things that we're going to encounter. We're going to encounter people that are steadfast against the Lord, against any proof of the Lord. When Mary Schweitzer opened up the T-Rex bone and found fleshy, what do you call it, tendons inside the bone, that a bone that's supposed to be billions of years old, they told her, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to know. They would rather reject the truth in their face. This can't be true this millions of years because, look, these blood clotlets, they couldn't last that long. You get it? So it's like they willfully reject the truth, willfully ignorant. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay attention to interpreting the Bible properly. When I first heard hermeneutics, I think it was from Pastor Rick. I thought a guy named Herman, you know, had devised a study of some sort. Hermeneua is the word? Hermeneua. So anyway, but if I ask you what I meant by the word hand, you would respond by saying that I could mean any number of things, right? So if I just said hand, you might think of a hand. you know, a physical, literal hand. But if I said, give me a hand, you probably wouldn't cut off your hand and give it to me. Because in context, there has to be more to that context than me cutting off my hand and giving it to you, right? Okay, and then, or you might think physical assistance. But if I went as far as to say, come give me a hand with this bookshelf, right? Then you would say, oh, so that it's more specific. So what we're doing is, or give me a hand, a round of applause, right? Yeah, okay, that could mean that, but you might want to say, give her a hand, she's done a fine job singing, right? So the more you add to it, the more you can see what the meaning of hand really is in context, right? So the word call means all. Call in Hebrew. Kaf, Aleph, Lamed. I've been studying Hebrew. I had to throw that out there so that you guys would think I was smart. Call means all. Okay, and so what the resistors want to say is that God didn't flood all the earth. Just a little area over at Adrian's. Just around that area, right? And then the Bible makes it clear. All the high mountains. Well, all, if all doesn't mean all, right? This is how they get in, right? Then if you're not paying attention, that's going to make sense. Oh, they figured it out. It'll be on the cover of National Geographic. It was just a local flood. You know, it didn't cover the whole world because all doesn't always mean all, right? But if you look in context, you're going to see, and then if you study the scriptures all around it, you're going to see that in this case, all means everything. Why does all mean everything? If the flood was local, then why would Noah spend over 100 years building an ark for a local flood? Okay, let's say it was local and it was like the continent of America. Okay, so he had to spend 100 years building the flood. Okay, why build an ark over 400 feet long if it was local? Is it not hard to imagine a local flood that lasted over a year? Okay, so just one concentrated area stayed flooded for a year, right? If the flood was local, then did God break his promise not to flood the world again? He's saying the world, okay? Is he breaking his promise? All right, so if the flood was local, does that mean that only the humans in Mesopotamia were evil while the rest of the world was righteous? Because what does God say? He's going to destroy the wickedness, right? So just right here in this region, they wicked. We're going to have a flood and cover up this area. You build a boat, you know, big enough to house, you know, the biggest 2.5 football fields, right? Because of this area right here, they're so wicked, and you guys aren't. But in the rest of the world, they're not wicked either. You know, why didn't he just send fire down to destroy that one region, like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Okay, so all of mankind is traced through Noah's three sons in the Table of Nations. Peter's first epistle makes it clear that only 8 souls were spared. Now, most local flood advocates, feeling the weight of the above considerations, recognize that fact that all humans died in the flood. Consequently, they suggest that all the human population of the day was located in the Mesopotamian Valley. However, does this really solve the problem? In other words, everybody that died was right there in that location. That's where they were. So that makes it cover everything, is what they're saying. An escape route. They want to get out of their denial, right? So, where was I? Yeah. Yeah. So, and back to context. So if the flood was local, then if it was local, then, okay, so it is local is basically what they're trying to say because it just destroyed this area and that's where all the human beings were. When Noah and his family got off the ark, many things happened to tell us the writer is drawing a definitive parallel to the initial creation. See several things in common. Okay, In Genesis 9:1, God gives mankind the exact same commission as he did in the beginning. Go and populate the earth, right? That means, okay, that's crazy for me to tell just you two, go and populate the earth when the earth is already populated with other people. You know, you go add to the population, might be, right? Y'all getting bored? All right. So, all right. So go add to the population. I'm almost done. I really am. Yeah. So, all right. So what the Lord is saying is not go add to the population, repopulate. Once again, God gives man dominion over every beast. He's saying go and take dominion over everything, right? What's funny is, listen, with all the evidence of a global flood, and especially millions of dead things all over the earth, right? All up in the highest mountain peaks in every country, not just in Mesopotamia, you know, stuff that's not supposed to be up there. That's just enough proof that something happened. That's not enough for them. Well, if it happened, it happened 29 billion years ago, you know, when our stuff blew up. It's just always something. You get it? It's always something. The enemy, he's going to do it any kind of way he can to kind of derail the truth and make it so flawed, it's going to be hard to believe or unbelievable. And this is what he does. And he does it well. He was a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning, right? Look, lying is his native tongue. He brought it into existence. He's the father of lies. I was thinking about people even capitalizing on like a bishop's name. You know what I mean? Oh, my daddy. You know, you see this stuff all the time. You know, oh, my daddy or my uncle, uncle so-and-so. Look, if I was bishop, I would not want you referring to me in your sin. You get it? And then what about the real siblings? I mean, imagine what he has to put up with, right? Right? So it's kind of like, look, Jesus corrected those Pharisees. No, your father is the devil. Do not call my father your father, right? You get what I'm saying? It's like, and why is that? Why would he do that? He didn't bite his tongue, and he wanted to differentiate where your lying spirit that's wrecking the foundation of the gospel message is coming from. You're lying all over the place, and the foundation is cracked now because of you. Because you've let all kind of compromise come in. All kinds of error are coming, and people are happy with the error, believing in you. Look, God is waking us up. You're going to believe every yacht and tittle. Like JR said, every dot. If you don't believe it, then you need to ask me to help you with your unbelief. Because I'm not lying, you're wrong. Bless the Lord. It's the truth. Look, he did all that. Look, well, how'd all them animals get on that ark? Kind. It says in the Bible, two of every kind. So if you got two wolves, dogs come from wolves. And if you got two mountain lions, cats and cheetahs come from mountain lions. Kinds, two kinds, right? Two of each kind. It's important to know this. Okay, now the evolutionists will step in and say, how would he get all that bacteria on there that we evolved from? They just keep going, you know. But believe me, bacteria small, he could have had we evolved from it, made room for the bacteria, right? How come they came? Look, they're smart. The animals are smart enough that when it starts raining, you see them scurrying to their burrows and stuff. He could easily put in you two. You come on down. Come on down to the ark. Because after I'm done, my people are going to be ridiculed for believing in this ark encounter. But I'm going to establish them because they bowed down their reputation for me. Bless the Lord. What about the rainbow? David don't like gays. Listen, David used to practice homosexuality. Who didn't know that? Raise your hand. Oh, you didn't know? Oh. Listen. Look, it's so commonplace, it's not even a testimony anymore. You get it? But David used to. I don't hate, used to. And then look, I don't hate the gays. I believe God delivered me from all the sexual perversion, all of it. David wasn't just practicing homosexuality, right? He practiced anything that when you got high on, you know, whatever. Look, I'm telling you. Now, I'm not saying all people that practice homosexuality have to be intoxicated for that. I wasn't first intoxicated when it happened. But then the whole story, I'll write it up there and put it up there. Pray for me. Okay? But the fact of the matter is that here's the enemy again. This bow, God said, incidentally, I will place my bow in the sky. Think about it. I'll place my bow in the sky. That means the bow existed already. Okay? This is what it means. So I did a study. It's not like I'm going to create a rainbow. It already existed, and you could see the bow. A lot of people believe that it was just sparkling, drizzle and stuff with no rain yet, you know, and all this kind of sort of stuff. So the sun could have caused you to see the different rays of light, right? But God said, I'm going to place that bowl up here, or my bowl up here, in other words, right? So it's kind of like I'm contradicting myself. His bowl is a different, I'm going to place my existing bowl up here in the sky, right? Okay, so what does the enemy do? That's what he does. I pass out tracks, you guys, tracks. I'm stupid because my tracks don't have 4892 San Pablo Dam Road on them, because it would be advantageous that the people, when they got the track, they would want to see where this crazy person goes to church, right? But I'll pass out tracks, and then in so doing, I have to explain now that I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. Why? Because they've gotten out there and they passed out tracks everywhere. So if I want to talk about the rainbow, they're going to think, look, he's skinny and he ain't married, he gay. You get it? So the enemy, he hijacks. You get it? But our reputation. And look, we have to put our reputation to the side. Actually put our feet on it. I'm sorry you feel that way, but God knows really what's going on in here. Okay? And so I'm mentioning this rainbow and I'm mentioning the things of God because, yes, you're going to ridicule and criticize me and you're going to do it. But who's not going to suffer for the gospel? If you're not suffering for the gospel of Christ, something's wrong. If everywhere you go, everybody's high-fiving you and they're just so happy to have you. And we down. And they all secular and they don't know the Lord. Something's wrong. When you get through going outside and talking to them about Noah's Ark, they're going to be hostile to you. Later on, you're going to say, hi. It used to be, hey, there's my boy. Tomorrow it's, I got to get some water. Yeah. Okay, look. Everybody's not going to. A small percentage is going to accept the truth of the gospel or be so curious that they're going to open up the books where many Christians aren't. They're going to study. They're going to look in there and find out, is this true or not? I've been listening to Alistair Begg, Cook, and all the other intelligent men of the earth, Darwin and all of this. And look, this place has to be the way they say it. Something out of nothing. Cataclysmic. Look, Mars doesn't have water on it, but they want to believe that Mars suffered a global flood. It doesn't have water. But this place full of water could not have suffered a global flood. Think about it. We have a leg to stand on. It's his. Look, and the day everything's going to be revealed, who really belongs to him, who's really down with him, who really stuck their neck out to get the truth out, who denied themselves, picked up their cross and followed him. That day is coming. It's worth the effort. Bless the Lord. The enemy, this is it. Okay, so the enemy came to blaspheme God, his people, and his dwelling place. And this is exactly the Bible says that this is going to happen in the great day. That's where we're going, because people are rejecting the truth. And how so? Because they're believing a lie that's coming through the people that they respect, that whose reputations are important to them. You see what I'm saying? Because if I can network with them, you know, and align myself with them, right? Okay? And God is saying, no, you get down there with the motley people, David with all his issues, and Clemas and JR, you get down there with them and you rally together under me. Because I have a place for you. It's look, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for you. The honest truth is that by his spirit, you stay in his word, he starts giving you more and more glimpses into your future. Yes, he will start revealing to you this place, not what we're looking at and settling for is the result of a catastrophic event. It's really a cemetery. God doesn't want us on a cemetery. He's got a place for us that we're going to be amazed at. No, that, you know, what we thought sand was just a work of art. There won't be dry deserts. Does he not speak out against the dry deserts? Okay, how does he mention a desert? We'd be like a tree planted by a river of living water. There's a, look. There's, look, a lot of stuff is going to change. A lot of stuff that we've seen today, we've settled for and we're investing in. And we have this hope to make it rich and live like them. That's a picture. You look at the picture tomorrow, they waking up from drunk, laid out, lewd, crudeness, head aching, feet hurting, whatever kind of body parts they didn't use the night before hurting. All of this crazy is going on. I'm telling you, it's a picture. Come on, it's time to get on the set. And they doctor you up and blow dry your hair and put your makeup on and put you in a chair by the pool and give you a martini and a cigarette holder. And then you come by and you take a look at it and say, I want that life. It's a picture. The truth is we're going to have all that and it's going to be real. There will be drinking and celebration in heaven. Jesus said, I won't drink again until I do it with you. And the Bible says that, hey, you know what? I'm going to prepare the finest meats and the richest meats and the finest wines for you. Party down in that day. Deserve it. Okay? Bow your heads with me. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Bless God. Father God, now I got crazy. And, you know, Lord, I want this for all of us. I want to see all of us reigning. I don't want us to miss it. I don't want the enemy to help cause us to blow it. That there's achievements that, Lord, that we can only gain now. That will be setting us up for life eternal. I don't know how else to kind of make it known I just know that, Lord, I know this is what you want us to hear today. And that we would capitalize on it and believe it and let it grow and fester and become big, huge in our hearts. So, Lord, we're praying right now, Lord, that you would really, Lord, right now, doing us what we can't do. There's still some blockades that we're deciding I can't give up this or give up that for this and that. Lord, we need you to tear down the strongholds.
Yes, sir.
We need to ask you to do it. Not one day I'm going to do it. We need you, Lord. We need you to tear it down, Lord. Make us a people, Lord, craving you.
Yeah.
Lord, not just one day we just want the benefits, but Lord, we want to be with you.
Yeah.
We just want you to know us and to count on us and to use our name in your mouth when you're making references. David and Jamie and Clemas and Ricardo and Keith and Regina and all of us, Lord. Lord, we're praying right now, Lord, that you would remember us in your kingdom.
Yes.
And that in that day we would be with you in paradise. In the name of Jesus Christ.